Turn in your Pew Bibles, or New King James Bibles, rather, to Psalm 75. Psalm 75 for our psalm meditation today. And the superscription is, "To the chief musician, set to Do Not Destroy, a psalm of Asaph and a song. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your wondrous works declare that your name is near. The earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved. I set up its pillars firmly." Selah. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with a stiff neck. But God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. But I will declare forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. Okay, here in this psalm, another psalm of Asaph, and if you'll notice, this one is also designated a song. So here we have two of the titles found in the passages in Ephesians and Colossians. Here we have a continuation of the thoughts that we've been looking at ever since we turned into Book 3. The tragedy of the wicked, the blessedness of trusting God, as Psalm 73 is titled, the plea for relief from oppressors, and the knowledge that God is the judge in Psalm 74. And here in Psalm 75, we're looking at the past. Or rather, not quite looking back at what God has done. But in total reliance, total trust, looking at what God will do as if it had been in the past. It begins with, again, as we usually see in the Psalms, with a giving thanks to God for His goodness and His glory. Here we give thanks to God. We give thanks twice to the God of the covenant. For your wondrous works declare that your name is near. Now that in itself is an important thought. So let's think about that. If we look at the gods, or what other people think of God, we see that quite often it's a God of distance. A God that waits, that'll come around to things later. Especially back in the Old Testament times. It was a God that they were never sure if He was there, if He'd listen. A God that was restricted to certain places. But here we see the people of God being told to give thanks because Jehovah is near. Now it's interesting that the name Jehovah or Yahweh is not used in this first verse. It says, "We give thanks to you, God," just Lord, "because your name is near." And how do we know that? Because His wondrous works say so. The Israelites had been given the grace to understand that as they look around and saw in everything that happens and everything that exists, that God is great, that a Creator God is around, one that is providing for His people and for all things. And so just the acts of nature around, to somebody with eyes to see, declares that the name of God is near, that the covenant is around. Now God begins to speak in verse 2. That was the people in verse 1. In verse 2, God speaks, "When I choose the proper time, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved. I set up its pillars firmly." Now here we have God Himself saying that He will judge when it's right. So we don't have to wonder how long, as we see in the previous psalm. As we see throughout the book of Psalms and Scripture, the people saying how long. Here we begin with God saying, when it's the right time, I will judge uprightly. And how do we know when it's the right time? When God chooses. When He's ready, when He decides now is the right time for His purposes, He will judge. How will He judge? Well, He'll judge uprightly. And we're told that as He judges, everything will be done righteously. Does He have the power to judge? Well, He has the right as the Creator, but does He have the power? When you look at foreign mythologies, other religions, you see many gods who want to judge, who may judge rightly or not. Some of them are pretty capricious. But we see many gods who are powerless to set in effect their decisions, their judgments. But here we see that the God is saying that He will judge uprightly. The earth and its inhabitants are dissolved, melted away. I set up its pillars firmly. We have a God that's declaring, as the one who created, certainly He can destroy. As the one who sets what's right and wrong, surely He'll judge rightly. And as He judges uprightly, His judgments will certainly be put into place. Now, we have a God that not only is going to judge, but one that, in grace, warns the transgressors. In verse 4 and 5, I said to the boastful, do not deal boastfully. And to the wicked, do not lift up the horn. Do not lift up your horn on high, and do not speak with a stiff neck. Now, in our modern culture, to many of us, these verses don't mean a whole lot. And I remember when I first started reading this, I found the idiom odd. But I didn't find it entirely unapproachable, unintelligible. Because in my youth, and more recently in my adulthood, in my children's youth, we raised cows and goats who have horns. And the idea of the boastful, who's supposed to be subordinate, lifting up its horn, asserting itself against its master, made perfect sense to me. It seemed odd because as a Catholic, nobody ever spoke like this. This part of the scriptures weren't emphasized, let's put it that way. But the idea became very clear to me, and it was very easily understood. And anybody that's ever raised cows with horns, or goats with horns, or sheep with horns, can understand exactly what this means. That as you go to lead the one who's supposed to be subordinate, the neck gets stiff and the horns come up. And they say, I'm not going to do that, and you can't make me. Well, it usually ends badly for the animals who decide to do that against their master. It always ends badly for the human who tries to do that against his God. But God warns the boastful, don't do that. Don't be boastful. To the wicked, don't lift up your horn. Think about what you're doing. You're not all that, to use the modern phrase. Don't speak with a stiff neck. Bow your neck before your master and listen. For exaltation comes neither from the east, nor the west, nor from the south. And I'm not exactly sure why the north was left out. But the point is, there's no one on earth that's going to exalt you. And it doesn't matter how much your fellow creatures tell you you're great. You're not. Doesn't matter how much you look good compared to those around you. Compared to God, you're not. And the warning is to the people around Israel, and in Israel also. Doesn't matter how good things look or how you seem to be on a roll here, you're not God, and you need to remember that. Exaltation doesn't come from anywhere around you on earth, but God is the judge, and He will judge. He puts down one and exalts another. And it's by His choice that one is raised up, one is put down, one is destroyed, and another is rewarded. And we don't always understand why, but we know it's right. And we know in the long term, things are done with justice. Now, the next idiom is one also that it's an interesting idiom. It's a very deep one, and it covers all the bases pretty good. For in the hand of Jehovah, there is a cup. God is bringing something to His to these people that He's speaking to. God is bringing something to the earth. And in it, the wine is red. Now, when we think of wine, we think of something that's prepared, something that's ready, something that's done. And this wine is red. In the Hebrew, it's a dark red. It's deep. Meaning it's strong. It's not been mixed. It's not been weakened. It's not been adulterated. But it's full power, full strength. It's fully mixed. He's made it exactly what He wants it to be. He's put in it all the things He wants. And He pours it out. And when God makes you take something, you're going to get it all. Surely its dregs, even the very bottom of the cup, shall all the wicked of the earth drain and drink down. There'll be no escape from it. There'll be no one that says, no, I don't want this. So now we're back to the congregation in verse 9. After God says what He is going to do, And then verses 6, 7, and 8, we have this description of what God is going to do from the third person perspective. And now I will declare forever, and I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked I will also cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. Now, the beginning, the first verse, was the congregation, the people of God. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks. Verse 2, 3, 4, and 5 is God Himself, the Father, speaking. I am going to do these things. 6, 7, and 8, we have a third person. Here's what's going to happen. Not maybe, not probably, this is certainly what's going to happen. Verse 9 and 10 is interesting. I will declare forever, and I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked I will also cut off. Now this is someone speaking first person, looking at what the Father is going to do. But this third person is also going to be the one to do it. Now, I want you guys to understand, I want everybody listening to understand that we're listening to the words of Jesus here. This is the words of the rider of the white horse. These are the words of the one that will come in judgment. The Father sits in heaven, but He sends His Son to execute His wrath upon the earth. In the Old Testament, we see the angel of the Lord bringing wrath and judgment many times. In the New Testament, Jesus talks of when He'll come back. And in the book of Revelation, we see the promise that He will come to judge the rebellious nation of Israel. Here we see Jesus saying He will declare forever and sing praises to the God of Jacob, and He will be the instrument of this wrath and vengeance. All the horns of the righteous will be cut off. And I'll tell you, there's nothing more pathetic than an animal that's used to having horns trying to gore after the horns are gone. It's embarrassing. It's comical in their weakness and in their inability to do what they think they can do or should be able to do, and they sit there ineffectively trying to be strong, and there's nothing there. But the horns of the righteous shall be exalted, and the people of God, not in rebellion, but will lift up their horns in power as they bring dominion on the earth in the name of Jehovah God. Psalm 75 is a triumphant hymn, psalm, song for the people of God, looking forward to the day when all the earth will be full of His praise, when He will bring vengeance upon the wicked who do not listen to the warning given. But the warning is given, and some of the rebellious ones will graciously be saved. So as we sing this, let's think of this. And let's pray that the grace of God will turn those whom He chooses to Him, but the power of God will put down those wicked who seek to oppress His people and rebel against God the Father. Psalm 75.